Welcome to Dear Instructional Designer, Episode 3. Welcome back to Dear Instructional Designer, the show about the instructional design journey. I'm your host, Kristen Anthony. It's launch week, and I've dedicated this week to sharing some recommendations and insights into creating a really great portfolio. So last episode, episode 2, I talked about getting over the hurdle of what do I make? And the takeaway that I hope you got from that was that I really recommend embracing an emulation process. This is something that I've thought a lot about, and I think that it really works. So the steps were, collect some interactions that you find engaging and helpful, imitate those by trying to rebuild them, and at the same time, really analyze what's working and what isn't, and how those interactions fit into your ideas about instructional design. Last, keep practicing, and over time, you'll begin to transform your inspiration into something that really aligns with your ideas and your voice. In today's episode, I want to talk about yet another item of importance, the tools. What tools should you use? Newbie instructional designers, myself included, ask a lot of questions about which tool is best and which tool should you learn. The question is certainly valid, right? If you look at instructional design positions listed in a lot of job boards, a substantial majority of them list a specific set of tools that they want the candidate to have experience in. While the number of options is growing, your major rapid e-learning tools at this point are Articulate Storyline, Adobe Captivate, and Lectora Inspire. While each of these tools have their pros and cons, and there are a lot of people who I'm sure would love to expound on those, it's essential to remember that they basically each do the same things. So I want to encourage you not to get caught up in any hype or become a zealot. They're just tools, and they won't on their own make you awesome or even make you stand out. That's what portfolio projects are for. Now, even though I would encourage you to save up for one of these tools when you have the chance, as I said, a lot of employers ask about these, and I don't want to try to deny that fact or downplay that, just do not let the fact that you don't have one of them stop you from making projects. Here are some alternatives to think about. You might use an open source LMS, learning management systems. If you are interested at all in learning management systems or instructional design systems, you actually see quite a few job openings for that. Learning management systems and having some technical savvy with those really is one of those things. It's one of those niches that you can get yourself into. You might try installing Kineo Adapt. That's something that I really hope to get my paws on here pretty soon. Or a Moodle on a local server, and just try creating some courses on there as a showcase. So think about what you can do, how you can push those. Adapt, in particular, as I said, really excited about that one, looks like it has some really interesting responsive features. So if you're interested in sort of the technical aspect of things, you might try thinking about playing with an open source learning management system. Good old presentation software. I mean, if you have access to PowerPoint or Keynote or even Google Slides, you can create short micro-learning. Some people hate that term, but that's one of the terms that's out there in the industry. Or flipped learning presentations by combining voiceover and simple motion graphics. There's so much, really, there's so much you can do in presentation software with a little practice. I'm going to link to a couple of examples of motion graphic type videos, one created in PowerPoint and one in Keynote, and I'll put both of those in the show notes. So, you know, when I say motion graphics, a lot of people think those really slick type of videos that a lot of organizations have now. And a lot of those are created in something like Adobe After Effects, which is one of those tools that has quite a high learning curve. If you're interested in that, certainly I would want to encourage you to go give that a shot. But really, don't discount your normal presentation software, you know, just because a lot of people do those things in ways that are boring doesn't mean that it's the tool, right? There are a lot of things that you can do with that tool. So definitely think about how you can use those effectively. Of course, you can host the videos. So that's an important part. You can host the videos you create using a free service like YouTube or Vimeo. And beyond that, you can also just create effective slide templates to show how you design presentations, right? That's something that a lot of instructional designers do. I know in my job, it's not something that I do heavily, but it's one of those things that can be used as a gateway to just start where people are. If people are starting with, I've got these presentations, then one of the things that you can do to sort of build relationships is just start with, okay, you've got a presentation, how can we tweak it? How can we make it better? So definitely getting practice on that is one of those things that can help you a lot. Screencasts are a third sort of tool that you can use. Camtasia is another thing that you will commonly see referenced in job ads. It runs about $300, I think, though they do have special pricing for educators and government employees, so it's worth thinking about and asking about that. You can also use free tools like Articulate Screener or Screencast-O-Matic. You probably have some tips and tricks that you discovered about tools that you use. You can create and share screencasts about those. The more I discover about different instructional design positions, the more that I see that short targeted video can get you a lot of places. So this is a great place to start. Free resources abound as well. I've collected a variety of Creative Commons and public domain stock photo, icons, videos, fonts, and more on my free resources Pinterest board. You might want to check it out. Links to that and the other tools I've mentioned in the show notes. Thanks for listening, folks. That's the end of the episode today. But before we part, I want you to take away this. While there are tools that are definitely worth you saving up and investing in, there is nothing stopping you from starting now with the free tools and resources you have at your disposal and creating really effective portfolio pieces. Start now. Don't wait for all the gear to be in place. Don't wait for, I've got to have these tools. Again, I don't want to downplay that those tools are important. A lot of people in our industry are asking about them, but you don't have to wait. Use what you have and start now. I've said it before, folks, and I mean it. I would love to see what you're making, what you're experimenting with. How are you pushing the tools that you have right now to create portfolio pieces? You can find me on Twitter at AnthChris, or you can send me an email at Kristen@DearInstructionalDesigner.com. And hey, do me a favor. Leave a review on iTunes if you would. Your review would help me know how I'm doing, help me know if you're finding the podcast useful at all at this point, and will help other IDs find this podcast too. We're halfway through launch week. I've got a lot more great stuff lined up. Keep listening, and I'll talk with you again tomorrow.